In fact, here on Sunday morning, it was kind of their final go-around before they represented our Florida-Georgia district, sharing the music of worship over there. They're back with us now here for Sunday morning, and this is going to be something, at least for the first 2 months here, on this third Sunday of the month is when we will see them in worship on Sundays. And so, and we're going to try to stick to that third Sunday. I don't know how it's going to work each and every month. But if you know right off the bat that on the third Sunday, it's going to be Faith Factor and a Faith Factor type worship, and you'll get acquainted. For those of you that are not used to our Saturday night worship, you'll quickly get acquainted to the kinds of things that we do here as a part of our worship for today. Just a reminder to everybody, the Bible study with Pastor Arndt has gotten off to a great start. It continues back in the conference center on Sunday mornings. When he's finished, Pastor Steinke will take over, and we will make sure that we get an announcement as to most of the time. I think Pastor Steinke is going to move out here into the sanctuary, but we'll have the exact location just for everybody as that time comes about. So please keep note of that. And with the other Bible studies that we also have beginning, I know that we have one coming to Barb Goodhue's on Tuesday night. We have one that's coming to the music room on the parables of Jesus that's going to be on Thursday nights. There's a sign-up sheet for that back in our fellowship area. Please take a look at that as we get an opportunity to share God's word. After the service, there will also be an opportunity, if you have brought some of your gently used items for the rummage sale, they were up there for just a little while before service. They'll be up at our shed on the northeast corner of our property to receive some items after our worship service this morning. That rummage sale is October 13th, so it's coming upon us quickly, but hopefully we'll all get a chance to be able to share that. We do pray for the continued health of the congregation. There's a lot of things that are going around right now that, as I understand it, kind of a curious season for that stuff to be happening because it sure didn't wait for the arrival of colder weather or anything else like that. But we do pray that God's people remain healthy. Okay, you will notice that when we had been doing our worship here over the summer and we started with a hymn sing that we pushed the greeting of the peace back a little bit into the service. As Faith Factor gathers together, we're going to start with a couple of songs here right off the bat, but they always begin right at the beginning of their service, which is what we will do now, standing and greeting one another in the peace of the Lord.
Yeah.
As you are able, please stand. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thus says the Lord God, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. Mighty and merciful Lord, with heavy hearts, we lift up our hearts in confession to you, beginning with a moment of silence. We confess that we are captive to sin, that the mark of sin stains us from our birth, and that without you we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. When we have treated the lost, not with compassion, but with condemnation. When our joy has been in our purity, our possessions, our reputations, and our uprightness. When we have neglected to care for the poor, the strayed, the weak, and have instead mocked them. When we have swerved from love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Bring us to repentance, Lord. Forgive our sins, those of which we are aware, and those we do unwittingly. Have mercy on us, seek us, for you alone can find us and restore us. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm The Old Testament lesson comes from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 50th chapter. If the Lord God helps us and frees us from sin, who can declare us guilty? Reading from verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the letter of James, the third chapter. We must control our tongues so that out of the same mouth may not come both blessing and cursing. Reading from verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand as a sign of resurrection hope.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory be to you.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. May God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My message for today is entitled, "Faith's Admission of Unbelief." And we go back to those words we just heard a moment ago, where Jesus said to the Father, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And immediately the father of the child cried out, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Well, friends, I know that when all of us are were young, we had doubts about a lot of things. We trusted a lot of things that we have become skeptical about. But you know, one of the things that we like doing, years and years ago when I was young, I used to play this card game a lot. It was called I Doubt It. Have you ever heard of this game? A few hands are actually going up, but nobody from Saturday Night Worship knew what this card game was. And the object is to, you deal all the cards out, and you might even have to cut the deck down so you don't have a hand that reaches out to both walls. But the ace is low, and you start with the ace, and whatever aces that person has in their hand, they have to lay them face down in the middle of the table and basically say that, "Okay, I'm laying down two aces." And then you go to the two and the three and the four and the five, and you have to lay down a card. Well, what happens if you don't have comes up and it's a five, and you don't have a five? Well, you still got to put something down. So you might put down maybe two cards, maybe even one card, two fives. But they aren't fives. And what you have to do is, if you don't have those, especially, you don't want to arouse suspicion. Whatever you have to do, so that you don't arouse suspicion. Because if somebody says to you, "I doubt it," the cards that were face down, the cards that you just laid, one card, two, whatever you said that you just laid down, you have to turn them up and show. If, in fact, you said two fives, somebody says, "I doubt it," you flip them over, and they're indeed two fives. All the cards that are in that center pile go to the person who cast doubt on your two fives. But if you're not telling the truth, Guess who gets all those cards? The game is sometimes also called cheats because a lot of times the only way you can get through the game and get all those cards out of your hand is for you to actually be able to cheat. Well, so be it. A card game might be just precisely that, but friends, in real life, we are all full of doubts, suspicions, and admittedly, honest appraisals of our own limitations. Friends, as we look at the things that we're up against, when we see what is supposedly some of the best that life offers, some of the things that supposedly people do well, and let me use an example here that you've been having problems with a machine and you don't want to get a different one. It's going to cost too much money. It's a really bad time for you to have to get something right now, and you really need this thing to work. So you take it to the best person you know how to get this thing fixed. Sometimes they got to say to you, "I'm sorry, there's no fixing this." Well, things like that start happening in real life. It only heightens our own doubts. Are there just some things, okay, forget if it's a vacuum cleaner or whatever the case might be. Just think about the things in our life. Some things that we see that we would like to see, shall we say, fixed it. We're going through. We have a friend that has spent just an inordinate amount of time hospitalized, and we're finally waiting for some good news that things have finally turned a corner, except you hear a doctor say, "There's nothing more I can do." Friends, the world may fill us with doubts, but one thing we must never do is to doubt Jesus. Jesus has a purpose. Jesus has a will, and Jesus has a love for you that far exceeds anything we could ever have for him or for anybody else. And that's what we lean on at a time like this. We may not always see. In fact, it's kind of like cards that are put face down. You don't know exactly what those cards are. And if it's somebody that's sitting around a card table with you, you may have reason to suspect that what they have put down that you can't see may not be what they claim it is. But God has got a way of letting us know that he always is up to something. And here, my friends, it's no different. As we wonder, well, if you can, well, guess what? Yes, Jesus can. Jesus can do that which we would even see as unlikely, even that which is impossible. Even though it was an angel that once said, "With God, nothing is impossible." Well, let's face it. This is, yes, it's the Son of God, but with the power of God himself in him, there is nothing he cannot do. The man's words were honest, hopeful, and admitting that perhaps there was nothing in his life that he would think would make somebody want to help him at a time like this. And that's why the man used the words that he did. "Well, Lord, if you can," almost like if you're permitted with someone as sinful, with someone as troubled as I, can you have compassion and help me? Jesus can do that which no human being can do. And we're not just talking about here in the earthly realm, but we're talking about the realm of faith. Because remember, that heart which springs out, which says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The reason we believe in the first place is because our Lord God and the power of the Holy Spirit put it there. Now, it is a faith that we could only wish. We could only wish would be able to give us some of the answers that we don't always have. But since we don't have the answers, we have to ask ourselves the question, do we have the confidence in our Lord Jesus? Do we have confidence before him as we're gathered together here for worship? Do you believe what God is able to do for you? With some of the things we've been through in life, I'm not certain how many would be able to jump up in the air, and they can do so without hurting themselves, and say, no matter what, Lord, I trust in you. Let's look at it this way. Here in the world, it would seem as though, at least in our own country, the problem of addiction to so many things. I mean, as we're learning more and more and more about the human body, about health and all these other things, the problem of addiction should in some ways not just be solved in a technical way, because in some ways it already has been, but it should be getting to the point, at least from our perspective, where it is a rare thing anymore, but it isn't. And that's because some of these addictions that are out there, opioids or whatever, too many people are looking to them when the solutions that they want in life are not immediately forthcoming. They're looking everywhere but where they need to look for answers. And sometimes addiction seems to be an easy way out. But even for those who do look to him, and let's face it, we're God's people. The very reason we're here this morning is so that we can look to him, lay our sins at the foot of the cross, bring our prayers and requests to the throne of God Almighty. Even those who do look to him often have times of doubt. Well beyond that which the father of this young man is going through. This father of this young man has heard about Jesus. He has been told about the things that Jesus is able to do. And Jesus is walking in the world at that time. He is one of the people that is blessed to live in the era where Jesus could perhaps be in his neighborhood and is, and actually is taking interest in his particular case, the problem of his son being possessed by a demon. Well, friends, this is something I found earlier this week where it says, if you can trust a puzzle company to make sure that every piece is in the box to complete the jigsaw puzzle, and no, I know, we're not talking about the puzzle that's been sitting on the shelf, and sure enough, no matter where you got that puzzle from, it's already been opened, and when you try to put it together, there's always one or two pieces missing. Have any of you ever had a puzzle that was clearly new? A jigsaw puzzle that was it was sealed and whatever else, and you had to break open the seals and that? Put the puzzle together for the first time and noticed a piece missing? It doesn't happen. I got to admit, I'm not much of a jigsaw puzzle person. I'm the type of guy that you give me one of those things, years, I don't know how long it would take me, but I would never be able to solve these things. But one time I do remember opening up one of those puzzle boxes, and it seemed to me that most of the pieces were still interconnected on the puzzle. I mean, you kind of had to break them all up and then kind of just throw everything into the middle of the table and kind of shuffle them all together before you even begin. Then, of course, make sure that all the pieces are turned up. But it's a fair question. You can trust that every piece in that box is going to be there. Why then can we not trust God that every piece of the puzzle of your life is there for a reason? Not necessarily a reason we see or understand, but every piece is there. That's why we are told to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We look to Jesus because all the pieces are there. He has laid it out for us, and it may not be something that's even going to make sense to us for a while, but it is there. Jesus helps us both in our belief and in our unbelief. The author and perfecter of our faith, he knows what we are capable of, and he knows what we are not capable of. He knows that indeed we have got vast limitations. He actually works with those. And he actually has a way of showing us that sometimes our limitations are not nearly what we think they are. You know, there might be certain things in life that, okay, you don't ever want to try, and just some things in life, that's okay. But I'll just use an example from yesterday morning. I was trying to fill my dishwasher with a rinse aid. We'd just gotten some from a store. Somehow or another, the soap dispenser that keeps for the dishwasher, the door to it is activated by a spring, so that it pops open at just the right time. And I think a lot of people have dishwashers like that, but I did something to the spring where all of a sudden the door is just sitting there flopping back and forth. And I'm pondering the prospect, oh, for crying out loud, I'm not going to have to call a repairman just for something like this, because it was just a little spring about this big. And I'm like, but I know I can't fix this thing myself. I stared at it 40 different ways, and then I remembered, oh, yes, all I got to do is grab my phone, and there's bound to be a YouTube video. And yes, I looked through the YouTube video, I watched it 3 times, and then I took it out to the kitchen with me, and I was literally running this YouTube video at 2-second intervals. It'd run 2 seconds, I'd put a pause on it, I'd stop and I'd stare for a moment and then do my little things with it, another 2 seconds, and at some point, as it showed me what it is that I had to do, I actually got it fixed. Something I could never have done without a YouTube video. But certainly not the sort of thing you'd ever want to have to call an appliance repairman for. You know, Jesus has blessed us in ways like that. And there have been stories that have been told, if you watch some of these television shows, of people who are using new pieces of medical equipment that, indeed, it transforms how they do certain things, allowing them to do things they've never been able to do before. But you have doctors that have never used these before, and so what are they doing? Tuning into YouTube videos the same way. Yeah, but as we go back to talking about faith, not necessarily springs on a dishwasher, faith never shares its part with doubt. But doubt sometimes is what directs us to the source of our faith. In other words, if we have faith, there's no room for doubt. But since we are people that are going to have doubts, doubt reminds us not to doubt, but to put our attention right there, in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And finally, my friends, then we all are able to do these things that God has called upon us to do. God has asked us to do and be and share many things, not just amongst ourselves, but amongst the people that he has placed into our life. So indeed, he helps us both in our belief and unbelief. We then, my friends, we do have to guard against an overconfidence, a faith that says, well, I can do anything. The disciples who had been sent out at one point 2 by 2, and were given power over demons and whatever else, were probably convinced, oh, we've done this before, certainly we can do it again. And the disciples were probably as shocked as anybody that they couldn't do these things. Let's face it, they didn't have the right card, and sometimes we don't either. The only person that has the entire deck at his disposal, if you may use those words, is our Savior. A Savior who is able to give to us the things that we need and is able to share them with us. You know, God is able to show in our entire lives the kinds of things that are going to happen. And it may take our entire lives before we see how all of those pieces of the puzzle are coming together. It may take a long time before we finally grasp what God has done for us, but He is the one who is able for us to do all things. Friends, we may always be people that are going to be filled with doubt. Jesus may even have to remind you, no. Never say words like, if you can, because all things are possible for the one who believes. And as God's people who are filled with faith, and yet must cry out in our lives, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. May God always help us as His children so that we rely on Him for all things, admitting what we can't do, but yes, He always can. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed as we join Christians throughout the world in confessing our faith. Please stand. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we receive our offerings, and while we do that, Faith Factor is going to share the song that probably most of us know. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Friends, we lift up our hearts to the Lord as we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have given us the assurance of your wisdom, your power, your holiness, and your love. Indeed, we worship you for your goodness, for giving us that which is able to allow us to lift up our hearts in prayers to you. You have changed us from enemies into your children through the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. So give us an awareness of all that comes to us from above, so that we may never fear, never be uncertain, never doubt about that which is the basis of our salvation. Continue to supply our needs of both body and soul, giving us life and breath, health and contentment, protection from every kind of danger to body and soul, but a closeness to you. Especially look with mercy on our moral frailties and spiritual weaknesses. By your Holy Spirit, in the midst of that which wants to not believe, help us to declare, Lord, I do believe. And during those times of sorrow and trouble, may Jesus speak his word of forgiveness and assurance to us. May it always become the ruler of our consciences, the focus of our wills, the center of our motives, the Lord of all of our lives. Indeed, let the love of Christ fill your whole church. Enable your people to know more of the vastness of that love, although it can never be fully known. In its power, may we love one another in the holy family of faith, showing loving sympathy to all in need, offering forgiveness to all our enemies. So we pray for a special measure of your blessing on those who sorrow or mourn, those who are suffering pain or sickness, those who are facing temptation or danger or loneliness or any kind of malady of body, soul, heart, and mind. Dear Lord, we now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of that which only you can provide in the strength of your love that we name before you now in the privacy of our own hearts. You have a plan for us that goes through our entire lives, dear Lord. Help us to know and understand that you are lovingly preparing us for an eternal fellowship with you, no matter what happens in this world. And because you are able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, hear our prayers. Remind us always of the joy of knowing that in you we have the blessings, including the most precious blessing of all, that Christ has given to us at the price of his own life. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name the prayer he taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And I remind my friends, as we prepare for a special version of the words of institution, may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
Friends, please stand as we close in prayer together. Lord Jesus Christ, at times we fear that you are far away from us. Forgive us for doubting your presence and give us confidence that our Redeemer and Vindicator is always near. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Since our final thing is I walk by faith, we'll remain standing for that last song. Well, my friends, as I mentioned before, we are going to be doing this the third Sunday of next month, and that we're going to try to see if we can make that move forward, having Faith Factor being a part of our Sunday services. We thank them for that this morning. And my friends, it says, love, grow, and serve, and go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.